I want you to think of prospecting from the perspective of the recipient. Do you think it's safe to say that many of us in sales approach in the same way? We sound pretty much the same, perhaps follow a very similar cadence. Well, today I have two prospecting tactics that your competitors probably aren't using. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about two ways that you can stand out while you're prospecting, and I'm here to tell you that there's a 99.9% chance that your competitors aren't doing these things. So if you guys are ready, let's get down to business. So the very first thing that you can do to stand out while you're prospecting, and both of these things are going to happen after the call. So let's say, just to set this up right, whenever you have a good call, but it doesn't result in an appointment, let's just say, and when we're talking about good call, let's define that. One where the person on the other end of that phone was helpful. Perhaps you discussed a pain point or two. Maybe you discussed an opportunity. Maybe the possibility of doing something in the future. What I want you to do is in those instances, send a handwritten thank you note after those types of calls. Now, just to be clear, you're not going to do this after every call. I mean, think about how many calls you make a week. That would be insane. Only the ones, there might only be a handful. There might only be two or three of these a week. You don't need a million of these types of calls. But the ones where, again, they were helpful, you discussed a pain point or two, perhaps an opportunity, maybe the possibility of doing something in the future. Now, let's talk about why you should do this. First of all, nobody does this. And I also want to point out to you that you're ready for this, you're ready for the sad reality. You are forgotten about. And I don't mean just you. You and I, just to make you feel better, you and I are forgotten about the moment this person hangs up. So the moment they end that call, you and I are forgotten about because there's a million things going on. Think about all the phone calls that they're getting from other sales reps. Think about all the phone calls they're getting in general, internal, external clients. Think about all the meetings. Think about all the emails they're sending and receiving, all the voicemails. You guys get the deal. So there's a lot going on to have them forget about us. So we don't want that to happen. So that's the first reason why you want to consider sending the handwritten thank you after those calls. The other thing too is that it reminds your contact that there's a human that actually cares and values their time. And before you say, duh, or that's a little warm and fuzzy, do you get the feeling that everybody you do business with cares about you and values your time? None of it. It's very rare that we have people like that. So it's another opportunity, again, for you to stand out. But also this, and I'm saving some of the heavier reasons here for last, but it's also, it's off script when you do something like this. It's not in their playbook. You know what's in their playbook? You calling, you saying the same shit as everybody else, you offering a rebuttal that is the same as everybody else, and possibly following the same cadence. Not even possibly, most probably following the same cadence as everyone else. We want to be different. So this is off script. In fact, it's a bit of a pattern interrupt because you know what happens when you do predictable things? You set up a really bad stimulus response type of scenario, meaning you call, they blow off the call. You follow up with an email, they disregard and delete the email. So sending this handwritten thank you is off script. And the other thing that it does, and this is something that I really believe in, it allows the contact to step back and reconsider what you've spoken about. Let me say this again, and I'm going to tell you how you can go about this. So it allows your contact to step back and reconsider what you've spoken about. And this really depends on how you word it. So let me give you a sample of how you might word your thank you note. And forgive me if this is sales 101, but hey, if you want to say duh, and meanwhile you're doing this, okay, great. But if you want to say duh, and you're not doing any of this, then probably it's a better bet to get off your ass and do it instead of accusing me of sales 101. See that? I'm all ready to have an effing fight with you guys, man. I'm not taking any shit today. But anyway, something, you could word it something like this. Thank you so much. Of course, you're going to begin it with their name. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. You ready for this? You're not gonna write that. You ready for this? You're going to write, I enjoy talking with you about blank. So let's just say I called you and I was talking to you about my sales coaching services. I enjoyed talking to you about my sales coaching services. I enjoyed talking to you about the possibility of doing a keynote speech for your organization. I enjoy talking to you about my online training programs. I enjoy talking with you about my Rockstar University program. You guys get the deal. So it's a fill in the blank. And so again, from the top, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I enjoy talking with you about blank and look forward to the possibility of working with you in the future. The other thing that this thank you, oh, I want to say something else. I had mentioned that it's kind of an opportunity for them to step back a little bit, right? And reconsider. So one of the things that this can really be a gentle reminder. It can be a gentle reminder. So one of the things that I do, and I'm not going to quit my day job and design business cards, but what I did was when I designed my business cards, I'm trying to think, it was 8 years ago when I started my business. 8 years ago last month, I started Castaing Training Systems. What I did, on the front of my business card is all your standard contact information and the design for Castaing Training Systems. But on the back is a bulleted overview of all 10 of the services that I offer through my business. So this way, at a glance, you could look at that business card. So it's a gentle reminder, first of all, in the way I've worded the thank you. It's not just a thank you. It's a gentle reminder of what we were speaking about, because I've said I've enjoyed speaking with you about blank. But also, if you look at my business card, now you have all my contact information there. You flip it over, and you have an at-a-glance overview of my services. Now, whenever I teach this to people, a lot of people say to me, but couldn't you do the same thing if you were to design a nice marketing piece? I absolutely could. But it's just a little awkward to send the thank you card and a marketing piece unless they've asked for it. Plus, I'd like them to be two different things and two different touches, if you will. Plus, I think, I don't know, this is just my crazy thinking, and I'm highly opinionated on this one. I really believe it's not as intimidating as sending them that, because I'm having them lower their guard, because all I'm doing is a harmless thank you here. But what I'm really doing, aside from showing good business manners and showing them I value their time, is I'm giving them the gentle reminder through the way it's worded. And it's just a business card, so why not look at it? And it's, if you had a chance to look at the back of my business card, it's really unassuming. It's not anything that's going to intimidate you, certainly to the point that you wouldn't say, I don't have time to read that. Now, when you get a marketing piece that you didn't ask for, you might say, oh, geez, I don't have time for this shit, right? But a business card with an at-a-glance bulleted overview of your services might be something that's in order. So that's one of that. That's kind of all I have to say about that, as the late, great Forrest Gump would say. The other thing under the heading of a gentle reminder, many times we speak with people when we call them, and they'll say things like, call me back in the fall. Call me back, I don't know, next month. Call me back after summer, right? We're coming up on that. Call me back when the contract renews in November, and we'll talk in September, that kind of thing. So please write this down if you're able to. Hopefully you're not driving. If you are, pull the car over. I have a rule that I teach in our prospecting programs, and that is a mouthful there, prospecting programs. And the rule is this. Every verbal agreement gets a written confirmation. Now, you might say, again, duh, but you might be thinking, well, of course you confirm things, but you're thinking of when the deal is live and you say, hey, I'll get this to you, or hey, I'm expecting you to do this, or I promise to do that. Yes, of course, a written confirmation for that. But I'm talking about when you're prospecting, you probably aren't thinking about that. So if somebody, I want you to think about all the people that say, call me back next month, call me back right before summer, call me back at the end of summer, call me back in September, call me back after Groundhog Day. You might be thinking, well, it's a blow-off, and there's probably a very good chance that it is. But even so, I want to confirm what we agreed on, especially if you've told me, call me back and I'll grant you an appointment. Call me back and I'll be happy to talk to you about it then. Call me back, we'll be happy to have you come in. I am definitely going to confirm that. So I want you to think about that. Now, here's where you get bonus points for sending a thank you, and I will tell you that hardly anybody does this, and this is still under the first thing, the first suggestion, thank you cards, to stand out while you're prospecting. You get bonus points if you send it to any assistant who is helpful. Now, I want you to realize something. The job of an assistant is to guard the decision maker, one of their many jobs. But if you really think about it, they love an opportunity to be a resource. They love an opportunity to look like a rock star in front of their boss. So don't ever, and I'll say ever, just to really emphasize it, don't ever underestimate their ability to influence the decision maker. The problem that many of us have is that we regard the gatekeeper as this royal pain in the ass. You know, they're doing this whole you shall not pass thing. And I think they sound that way, quite frankly. Even women, they sound very raspy like that, like they're smoking an effing pack of Camels every other minute. But we forget that they can be very, very helpful because they want to look good. They want to be a resource to their boss. Now, two very quick examples I want to give you where people have underestimated things and where people were smart, okay? When I owned my first business, it was a printing company, and we're going back now 24 years ago. And a lot of people didn't realize that my assistant was Mrs. Castain, or Mrs. Uncle Paul, as you guys know her as, Laura. She was the one who was my assistant. So you get people sometimes call up and they were idiots to her. They were never getting through to me if I wanted to remain married. Seriously, I didn't want to piss her off. But there were other times when she said to me, hey, I got this thing in the mail, and this guy was awesome. He was so nice and he was so helpful. And he said he's actually going to stop by again, or he's going to call again. I really think you should take a few minutes and hear him out. Now, when she did that, I always did it. And not just because it was my wife, but because I valued her opinion. And there are many decision makers who are like that. That's the first thing. The other example I want to give you is what kind of power to influence me Janice had, my assistant when I worked for Dale Carnegie. Now, when I worked there, I can't even tell you how many times Janice would come to me and she would say, I think you should talk to this financial services representative. This guy is so nice. He's so helpful. He's actually given advice to a few people. I think you should take a few minutes. And whenever she did that, I valued her opinion and I would talk with them. But here's the best one. Now, there was, and I don't know if you guys remember this story, if you've been listening to me for a while, there was this story that I always tell about how when I lost everything I had back in 1995, I set a goal to take my family to Disney one day. And I set the goal when I was broke, and just not just financially broke, just emotionally broke as well. I just felt like the world's biggest piece of crap. I set this goal that someday I was going to take my family to Disney. Now, my kids were really, really little, like maybe one. My oldest was a year old, actually, at that point when it happened. So I set this goal. And in 2006, 11 years later, we did our dream vacation. Now, before I tell you some relevant things about that vacation, I want to tell you how I decided on booking that vacation. I went to my assistant because I trusted her with everything. Now, I wasn't going to ask her to book a trip for me, and it wasn't a company type of matter, but I valued her opinion. And I asked her, I said, do you know of anyone who's a travel agent that I could talk to about booking this dream vacation? And wouldn't you know it, she comes back in with a file folder of people who had cold called her that were nice and who had made the cut, and that in a way, like, she didn't fully, they weren't, it wasn't as if they were vetted, but they passed the first test with her. And we ended up by booking with one of these travel agents. And just to let you know, I'm not going to be tacky and tell you how much this trip cost, but it was a dream vacation, mind you. And it turned out to be a total of 13 days. It was actually 10 days at the Polynesian at Disney World. 10 days and a three-day Disney cruise. And this was for five people, all the meals, all the park jumper passes. So this was a very nice sale for someone when all they did really here was they were nice to the assistant. They treated her kindly. And in return, they had someone who was their advocate. And I don't want you ever to forget about those things, okay? So, and that was kind of long-winded of me, but what the hell, my podcast, right? Tough shit if you don't like it. But anyway, the other thing that you can do, let me give you the second thing, since I took so damn long on the first thing. The second thing is going to sound like a repeat of the last podcast that we did, which I think the last episode was episode 252, if you want to check it out. I want you to send a recap to anyone where you've had that same type of call with, where, again, we're not sending it to everyone, only the ones where you discussed pain points, opportunities, perhaps features, benefits, some kind of possible collaboration in the future. And you're going to send this two ways to them. Right? Not one versus the other. I recommend both ways. I want you to hear me out on this. What you're going to do is you're going to send them. The first way is by email, and send it to them no later than the next day. Because remember, they've already begun to forget about you the minute that phone call has ended. So we want to give them that gentle reminder. Now, what you're going to do when you email it, and when you do it the second way, which I didn't get to yet, you're basically going to start off as a thank you. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, or thanks for taking the time to speak with me the other day. Here's a quick recap of our discussion. Now, what you're going to do in the recap is you're going to use their exact words and phrases. And there are two psychological reasons why I want you to do this. The first reason for using their words and phrases, especially when it comes to a pain point, is that it's a trigger. It brings them back to that emotional state when they were possibly considering you for that split second, or they were uneasy. And I want you to think about something that I always bring up on this podcast. Whenever you're telling a story about something that is unsettling, or something that you experienced that upset you or made you uncomfortable, or crappy service, or perhaps you're telling a story about a flight that got canceled, you got stuck in the airport, I want you to think what happens to you emotionally when you retell the story. Is it possible that those emotions now come back as if you're reliving the moment? You need for this potential client to experience that and have those emotions, because that's what gets people off the fence of indecision, off the fence of the status quo, and gets them considering making a change. We say it all the time in sales, but I think it's become one of these things that we say it so much that we've forgotten what it means. But we say that people buy emotionally and they justify with logic. But again, perhaps we've been saying it a lot and we haven't thought about things like this to get them back to that emotional state. The second psychological benefit to using their words and phrases is that it's actually a form of mirroring. Mirroring is actually a very powerful NLP technique, neuro-linguistic programming, that stands for. And it's actually a used and abused type of tactic, the way that you are familiar with it. You're familiar with mirroring as if I'm sitting across from you and I lean back, you lean back, tilt the head to the side, you tilt the head to the side. The problem with that is that most people suck at doing it. And it's a highly detectable tactic because you look like an effing mime. Really, you do. It's just, I've seen people who thought they were good at this get called out in a meeting. I kid you not. So, but there are other forms of mirroring. And first of all, before we talk about the other forms, and I'm not going to get into the other forms, but just kind of reference, the reason why mirroring is a powerful type of technique, if you will, or tactic, it's because, well, first of all, people like people who are like themselves. Many times when you're telling a loved one about someone you met that you really enjoyed the conversation with, perhaps, you talk about the things, oh, it turns out they're from the same town, or it turns out, yeah, they were in the printing industry too. Oh, you know what? They're a guitar player too. They like Game of Thrones. They smoke cigars like I do and curse on their podcast. We tend to think about things like that, but there is a deeper level to mirroring that I heard Tony Robbins talk about one time, because a lot of people think that mirroring is just too manipulative. It's too shady. And he described something very interesting to me that I want to share with you. It actually changed my view on mirroring, because I was one of those people that thought, ah, it's kind of a like a dickish type of move. And then he said something that was very interesting. He said, whenever you are in rapport with someone, whenever, in other words, they're accepting you and they're clicking with you, what happens is that we naturally take on some of the tendencies and mannerisms and phrases and body language of the other person. Now, if you think that I'm kidding about this, well, first of all, it's kind of hard to like catch yourself doing this, but catch yourself, if you can, doing this with people. Whenever I hang out with my family members, my New York accent really comes out. If you think I have it bad now, that's when you're going to hear me saying shit like coffee and chocolate and all that kind of stuff. Also, too, If you want a fun exercise to do, especially if you enjoy people watching, but not in a creepy way, what I want you to do is watch two people who are having a nice conversation. And if they are in rapport, you will see that they are inadvertently mirroring the other person's body language. If you're within earshot, you'll hear each other using, hear them using the same phrases and things like that. So it's something that happens very, very naturally. So if you can do that and show them that you've heard them, you're going to appeal to them at a subconscious level. And I really believe that your best relationships and mine are ones at a subconscious level. What do I mean by that? I mean that you can't quite, it's almost like saying to someone, can you really tell us why you love this person? Or why you feel so strongly? And sometimes it's very, very hard for us to articulate those feelings. Why? Because they're more of a feeling deep in our heart. And it's more at that deeper level than a surface, I can describe it to you level. You could do somewhat of a good job, but unless you could really say, well, here, like plug in and like check out my emotions, it's very, very hard to explain that to someone. But yet the feelings are there. So that's something that you can do. You can send the recap to someone. Now, I want to say something about the recap that you can think about doing. Or actually, I want to say why I think it's a good idea. Again, we're not doing this every time. It's for the same reason as sending the handwritten thank you. Again, it allows them to step back. You see, when you were in that phone call, you were in the stimulus response scenario. You were in that pattern that they're used to running a million times. Now we interrupt the pattern by sending a recap. It's not in their playbook because nobody ever does it. And now you're showing them, hey, I heard you. And wow, this person really seems to understand me. Now, because they're using my words and phrases. They're going to say, wow, this person really understands me. This person gets it. And what you're doing is you're offering perhaps a real surface level possible solution. What this allows or what happens here now is that they can step back and reconsider. Now, one cool little tactic that you can do with a recap that I don't think I've ever spoken about on this podcast is you could call the recap concerns and solutions. Concerns would be any concerns they express to you about their present service, present scenario, perhaps things that could happen in the future. And solutions would be some very surface level possibilities. And it has to be worded that way as possibilities because you don't know for certain yet because you haven't done a thorough needs analysis. So I was actually going to say something sarcastic there, and I'm not going to even tell you guys what the hell it was. I had to stop myself. That's what that hesitation was. I didn't want you to think, what the hell happened? Castigan having a stroke on his damn podcast? Maybe. We don't know yet, but for now, we're just going to have to be wondering. But I told you there was a second thing I want you to do with this recap or concerns and solutions sheet. So you're going to send it by email. But then what I want you to do is also overnight it and send it next day air, UPS or whatever. Send it out to them. Now, why would we do both? Again, it is another touch. It is another opportunity for them to bump into you off script. If it's on script and it is in the playbook, then what happens? It triggers stimulus response. It triggers the pattern. And they promptly blow it off because that's what they do. So if we break that pattern, what we're hoping to do here is have them step back long enough to consider us viable. That's all we're looking to do here. Wouldn't it be great if they got this, hey, sold, sight unseen. That isn't going to happen. But what we're trying to establish here is very similar to what I always talk about. You guys know it. If you've been listening to me for a while, my favorite word is going to be coming up in 3, 2, 1. It helps you establish propinquity. Propinquity means nearness, closeness, kinship. And also, this part isn't in the dictionary, but I've added it to it. And those bastards won't add it to the official definition. Not really, but I wanted to say that to be dramatic. Like I'm having it out with Merriam-Webster. Having a fist fight and seeing if I can get this thing straight now for you guys. But I really believe the other part of that definition, it's kind of the bumping into of potential clients in a pleasant way, like almost the way you would bump into your neighbor in the neighborhood. One day you bump into them, they're walking their dog and you're out there getting the mail. You bump into them and you do what Larry David terms or defines as a stop and chat, a very quick stop and chat. Then perhaps another time you run into them at the grocery store and you have a very quick stop and chat. Then maybe another time there you are with your significant other. There they are with their significant other and you have a stop and chat. Or by the way, as my new neighbor did the other day, we have a brand new neighbor next door and I was leaving the other day. And our driveways are parallel to each other. And I'm starting to leave. They're leaving at the same time. So I hadn't officially met this person, but I see them. And I yielded to them which is a very nice thing to do in New York. Anything, by the way, just so you guys know, if you ever deal with New Yorkers, anything not involving the middle finger is usually a good thing. So what I did was I waved them on, not with my middle finger. I waved them on as a true gentleman would do. And the next thing I know, I see the car parked in the road. I'm like, where the hell did he go? It's like I got David Copperfield for an effing neighbor. Next thing you know, there's a tap on my window. Scared the shit out of me, by the way. And I roll it down, and there's my neighbor. And we did a quick stop and chat because he wanted to introduce himself. So, anyway, that's kind of the deal. So we want to establish that propinquity. And the way that we do it, again, is by having these opportunities to bump into them. Now, you might be thinking, well, aren't we bumping into them when we're calling and when we're emailing? You can if they allow the stop and chat. Most of them don't because they see it coming. And they stop the stop and chat. Kind of like if he knocked on my window and I didn't roll the damn thing down. So there you have it, folks. Two ways to court potential clients, you ready? Without having the same crappy date. So if you found value in this, what I'd like for you to do is consider downloading our Sales Rockstar Academy program. You can learn more by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar, all lowercase, and it's all one word. YourSalesPlaybook.com/rockstar. With that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is at Castain Training System Production. Come visit our blog at YourSalesPlaybook.com/blog.